right, church, we have a lot to share with you this morning, so we're going to get right into it. Father, thank you for this time we have together, for all of the saints that are gathered here today. Father, we pray that you would encourage us, challenge us, help us to have more insight through these things as we study your word together. Clarity, Father, and we'll give you all of the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, as I said, we're going to get right into it this morning. This is going to be our last message about the Antichrist and the third I will of Satan that we have been studying. We're bringing this to a close pretty quickly, but there's a lot that I want to share with you today. And things have changed and are so rapidly lining up with the end times biblical scenario that it's really astonishing. You could literally do an update every week. What we're going to tackle this morning are two of the things that have really fascinated students of the Bible, really from the beginning of the church. And since John in the 90s, in the end of the first century, wrote the book of Revelation, this whole idea of the Antichrist, the beast, and that comes out of the sea, his mark, his name, the ability to calculate his name to 666. And there's a lot of confusion about this. You know, I'm often asked, and it's a legitimate question, I'm often asked by folks who love the Lord, what's the point of studying end times events? What's the value of it? You know, things are going to kind of happen as they happen. And it's a really legitimate question. But we have to remember that God put this in his word for a reason, for a couple of really good reasons. First of all, it builds a sense of expectation in us, and it gives us as the church, the missionary body of Christ going out into the world, preparing the world to be ready for Jesus. It gives us the answers to questions that the church is truly confused about. And because of a lack of teaching, I'm afraid, there's a lot of foolishness that has passed for doctrine. You know, people will say, well, you know, it's not important to study things like the mark of the beast because you teach yourself, Gene, that it's not going to happen until the middle of the tribulation. Yeah, it's not important until we come to something like a global pandemic. And then you see these kinds of newspaper articles coming out. Could I have the next slide, Steve? Some say that COVID-19 vaccine is the mark of the beast. Now, anybody who understood this, how many heard this during COVID? It's the mark of the beast. Don't take the vaccine. It's the mark of the beast. If you knew anything about the mark of the beast, you'd know that's impossible. First and foremost, there is no mark of the beast till the middle of the tribulation. But yet, confused believers, and I don't blame the church as much as I blame the teachers, the job description of a pastor, according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, his duty is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain mature manhood so that we are no longer children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And we see this all the time. Every time there's some kind of a catastrophe or trial or something, people are believers are tossed to and fro literally by every wind of doctrine. And these things gain speed on. So that's why it's important. Do you know why it's important to study the end times, church? Because we're in them. Because we're in them. This morning, we're going to do the final message about the Antichrist, which is the way that Satan is going to try to attempt to fulfill that third I will. He's going to put his Christ as the ruler of the earth, rather than God's Christ. Now, we've already broken down why that's important 2 messages ago, so you'll have to go back and look at that. I'm cramming 2 messages into this message today so that we can finish it, and we're going to have to move on. But if you don't understand why that is fulfilling the third, I will go back. The messages are all online. Jesus and Paul referred to the Antichrist activity as the abomination of desolation, and we began studying last time that it's going to come in 2 phases. We studied the first of these last time. The Antichrist will make a 7-year covenant with Israel, giving them the security that they need to begin sacrifices again in the third temple or the tribulational temple. Halfway through that promise. The Antichrist will receive a fatal wound to the head, and God will allow him to be resurrected from the dead. He'll have a megalomaniac complex. He will declare himself to be God. He will seat himself in the temple of God. And this is the first phase of the abomination of desolation. The second phase, oh, and by the way, this resurrection we also studied last time, the fact that the anti, remember, he's parroting the true Christ in every way that he can. So we've got death, we've got resurrection, we've got, you know, setting himself up in the temple where God was worshipped throughout the Old Temple. It becomes throughout the Old Testament, it becomes now the locus of worship again in the cult of Antichrist. Well, this resurrection is probably the great delusion that the Apostle Paul talked about that God is going to send upon the world. I believe this is a judgment against mocking people who have heard the gospel, rejected it, and, oh yeah, well, you know what, when the rapture happens, then I'll believe. Oh, when this happens, then I'll believe. God sends a horrific judgment upon the world, and I think it may be tied to this idea of the resurrection of Antichrist. Now, the second stage that we want to talk about today is what takes in these facets of the Antichrist career that have fascinated believers and unbelievers alike for many, many, many hundreds of years. It includes the efforts of Antichrist to have a global worship of himself throughout the world. It includes this image that will be erected, that the false prophet will insist be erected to the beast, that will be given animation. It'll be given life. It will be able to speak. It includes the mark of the beast, which the false prophet will demand that every citizen of the world receive. We're going to talk about that because the mark of the beast, it's just so confusing. It's been so confused, and it's really simplicity itself. We'll get to that this morning. But the penalty for not receiving this mark is death. And true believers will not take this mark. I mean, anyone who takes this mark is damned forever. They have locked in their eternal damnation. So no believer will take this. But you know what? Life is going to be very difficult for people who refuse it. And it also includes the systematic hunting down of Jews and believing Christians at this time. Why Jews? Why does everybody hate them? Have you noticed that they're not well-liked these days? Do you know why they're not well-liked? Because Satan hates them. Because God has made promises to Israel that he will fulfill. These are unconditional promises that he's made to Israel. He will fulfill these promises. And the devil is trying to make God a liar by making sure that there are no Jews for him to fulfill those promises with. That's what we're seeing here. In the middle of the tribulation, Revelation chapter 12, when there's war in heaven and Satan is cast down to the earth, Revelation 12, 10 and following, as soon as the devil hits the ground, it says he begins to pursue the woman who gave birth to the child. The woman is Israel, the child is Jesus. So anyway, and then Bible-believing Christians, people who come to know the Lord, Gentile and Jew alike at this time, who have come to be followers of Jesus because of the preaching of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists, the two witnesses, and you know, lights that went on, like, you know, people that you've witnessed to. If the rapture were to happen today, if the tribulation were to begin shortly, you know, there are people that you've talked to about Jesus that all of a sudden, when they see this, the lights go on, and oh my goodness, what she told me was right. What he said to me is true. Jesus really did come for that person. What do I need to know? How do I need to believe? What do I need to think about this? The beast, his name, his number. These are things that have fascinated people for 2,000 years. Just about. Things that have become part of our secular culture even. The number 666, everybody knows it's bad. Not everybody knows why. But they know it's bad. They know it has something to do with the devil. In the final scene of The Omen, you may remember this movie. It shocked the film going world 47 years ago, if you can believe that. 1976, Gregory Peck at the end of the movie reveals that his son under his hair has three numbers. He is the beast. His boy, Nobody wants to think that about their kids, that he will be the beast. Now, we have many beastly children. I'm not, you know, don't get me wrong. But the beast. But this has kind of seeped into our culture, this idea of the name of the beast, the number of the beast, the mark of the beast. What is it? Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1 says that this beast, the Antichrist, comes out from the sea. There are some that argue that the sea represents the Gentile nations. But there are others who kind of take a Hebrew approach to this. And the Hebrew world at the time saw the sea as a place of chaos. And so it could be saying, John could be telling us, that this beast is going to emerge out of a time of tremendous chaos. There's no doubt that we're seeing unparalleled chaos all around the globe. We're seeing widespread political upheaval, censorship, despotic tyranny, and somehow even the most evil forms of terrorism are being defended by people who apparently have no idea what it is they're defending. I saw a photo of a girl, young lady, college age young lady, holding up some Palestinian thing with a Taliban flag. She's got makeup on, she's got no head covering, because that's what the Taliban is all about, self-empowered women who walk around uncovered. She would be killed in places where the Taliban are ruling, like Afghanistan. This is just ignorance, but it's more than that. It's a satanic shroud that has covered the milieu of the age in which we're living, where there are people defending things they know nothing about. People who are, you know, I've seen pictures of people defending the Hamas movement, using, you know, having like the rainbow flag. They would throw you off of a building if they were in charge. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, we're seeing this all around the world. We see outright war in Israel, terrible strife in the Middle East and the Near East, many parts of the African continent, across South America. There's all kinds of upheaval. Is the one who is going to be the Antichrist alive today? Well, is he already serving in politics? Is he a boy growing up somewhere in the Mideast today, or the Midwest of America? Is he the mayor of some small town already, or the governor of one of our states? Is he in Beijing, or is he in London, or is he in Berlin? We don't know, but there are a few things that we do know. We know the signs of the times, because Jesus told us, you know, Jesus really excoriated. He went up one side and down the other, rototilled up one side and down the other, of the religious Pharisees, because he said, you are able to tell what the weather's going to be like tomorrow, but you can't see the signs of the times. And Jesus told us to be watching over and over again, to be watching, to be watching. He talked not only to those who will be in the tribulation and will be watching for his return, but he talked to those who would be living during the season of birth pangs. You know the thing about birth pangs? They increase in intensity and frequency as we get closer to the birth of the baby. We're living in that time right now, folks. Well, there are some things that we do know about this Antichrist who will come. And let's see if we can set the record straight this morning. John the Revelator wrote about the false prophet. Now, he comes out of the land. He's the second beast in Revelation 13. By the way, if you're interested in doing a deeper dive in the book of Revelation, we have every verse of Revelation studied online. There's 160, I think, messages. Head Deacon Steve Marsala posted them all up there. But the entire, we've gone through the entire book of Revelation verse by verse. It took us a long time. But if you want to cover a certain section of the book of Revelation, or you just want to listen to the entire panorama of the book, you can do that. Anyway, John the Revelator tells us about this false prophet who will rise in the middle of the tribulation and promote the worship of the Antichrist throughout the world. Here's what he says. It, that is the false prophet, performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that it is allowed to work, Notice you always see this language, allowed to work. The only reason the Antichrist, the only reason that the false prophet are allowed to do what they do is because the sovereign God gives them permission to do it. The only reason the Lord of life, in whom are the issues of life and death, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only reason that the Antichrist can rise from the dead is because Jesus allows it. So, by these signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on the earth, telling them to make an image to the beast that was wounded with the sword and yet lived. So this is the Antichrist who was killed, risen from the dead. So the first thing that we see is that this image is created by the false prophet. Jesus warned when you see that, and this image is going to be set up in the temple of God, this rebuilt temple, the third temple, and it is going to stand there and be animated. Jesus warned when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place. This is what he's talking about, the image of the beast. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. At this time, Jerusalem will become the religious capital of the worship of Antichrist. And the temple will be the center of worship for the Antichrist, and the living image will stand in that temple. So while the Antichrist will be disposed of after 1260 days, after 3.5 years exactly, the Antichrist is thrown alive into the lake of fire with the false prophet. The image to the beast is going to be allowed to stand 30 days longer, I think, as a testimony to why the judgments of the Lord during that time are just. Well, and here's where we come to the famous mark of the beast. The next verse, verse 16, says that also it causes all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and slave. Doesn't matter where you stand on the economic scale in these days. You're going to be compelled, just like everyone else, rich, poor, great, small, whatever. It causes all, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or forehead, on or in or on. We'll talk about that. This is another big controversy that I've heard throughout the years. On the forehead or on the right hand, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is, the number of the beast or the number of his name. Notice how the mark is being defined here. We'll get back to this in a moment. Now, this calls for wisdom, which is why many people don't understand it. Wisdom comes from the Word of God. Look at what it says. This calls for wisdom. Let the one with understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Another clue there. This mark is the number of a man, and the number is calculated to 666. Now, did you catch that? What is the mark of the beast? It's the beast's name, or the number of the beast's name. It's not a vaccine. It's not a RFID chip. It's not something that contains your personal banking information. That's not the mark of there's a very good possibility that something like that will be associated with the mark of the beast in those days. But the mark of the beast is not individual. If this man gets the mark of the beast and I get the mark of the beast, the mark that we get will be identical. Why? It is the name of the Antichrist, or the number of his name. To get the mark of the beast will be saying, I am aligning myself with the idea that that man is God and I agree to worship him. When we read about the mark of the beast, it's always tied together with the worship of the beast. Nobody's going to be tricked into this. Nobody's going to be hoodwinked into this. It will be a conscious decision to follow the beast. It's not going to be like, oh my goodness, all I wanted was a flu shot, and now I have the mark of the beast. It's ridiculous. The world will be given a choice at that time, and the earth dwellers will choose to worship the other Christ. And when they do, they will seal their doom. We'll explain as we go on. So, we've all heard about the information chip, the RFID. You don't even need that anymore. I'm going to show you today. You don't even need a chip. You want info? It's easy. All you have to do is put your... I'll show you before we leave. It's already been implemented. You can go to Panera and wave your palm over a little module. It reads your palm and brings up your My Panera information. No chip. Nothing like that needed. So where are we today? What does this mean? And you got to wonder, how is it that, you know, you hear the mark of the beast is the vaccine, or the mark of the beast is, you know, an RFID chip with your personal information. How do Christians miss the simple fact that everybody who receives this mark is receiving the same mark, the name of the beast and the number of his name? I put it down to bad teaching. I really do. I think the church has an epidemic of biblical illiteracy, and it is to our shame. John says in Revelation 13, verse 18a, that this calls for wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6 says wisdom. It talks about it this way. The Lord gives wisdom. Who gives wisdom? The Lord gives wisdom, and he gives wisdom through his word. And then he says, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And so John says, let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. Well, the mark of the beast will calculate to 666, which John calls the number of a man. While 7, by the way, is a perfect number. It's a number of completion. It's a number of perfection. 6 is a one. I'm not great at math, but 6 is one less than 7. And there's a reason for this. Now think about this. Just man was created on the 6th day, right? Man is given 6 days. A day is as 1,000 years. The 7th day is the Sabbath, right? 6 is a number that is decidedly less than. We're created in the image of God. We're made according to his likeness, but we're decidedly less than God. Do we all agree with that? You know, I'm not Jesus. Like Jesus lives in me, in my imperfect, fallen human body that will someday, thank you, Lord, be redeemed. But I'm less than Jesus. With no apologies to false teachers like Benny Hinn, who say things like this.
When you were born again, the Word was made flesh in you. And you became flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. Don't tell me you have Jesus. You are everything he was and everything he is and ever shall be. Yes, as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus said, go in my name, go in my stead. Don't say I have, say I am. I am, I am, I am, I am. That's why you'll never, ever, ever have to say I'm sick. How can you be sick if you're the new...
You should never say you're sick because you're the I am. Let me tell you something. Benny Hinn, if he's saved, is going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an answer to that blasphemy. That is sheer blasphemy. And according to James chapter 3 and verse 1, teachers will receive the more severe judgment. Anyway, with no apologies to that kind of nonsense, even though we're made in the image of God, we're not God. We're less than God. And the Antichrist, though, who will be a man, his name is the number of a man. It's a man's number, right? The scripture tells us. It's going to be an attempt to be the 7, but it's not. It's going to be 6. The Antichrist will try to achieve a godlike perfection, but he will fall very short. The number of his name will be an inferior and imperfect number based on the number 6. But the threshold, the threefold repetition of the imperfect 6 shows us that somehow, the 3 is a perfect number. It's the number of the Trinity. Somehow, the Antichrist will be the most perfectly imperfect man that's probably ever walked the planet. He will be a disaster for the world. So 6 is the signature of non-perfection, the symbol of human rule, the symbol of human power. Wordsworth says, the numerical symbol of the beast, 666, indicates that he aims and inspires to the attributes of Christ and puts forth a semblance of Christian truth, but falls away from it in a triple decline and degeneracy. along with seven. I told you three is a perfect number in biblical numerology, as it's the number of the Trinity. And I think maybe as just a poke in the eye to the devil, the name Jesus calculates to 888. 888. It's like 666, you know, 777 would be perfection. 888 is Jesus. I just see it as like a divine slam. Anyway, the Revelator gives us a few clues as to the beast's identity. Now, we read these verses, but let's kind of put them together in bullet points. According to what John tells us, first of all, the mark of the beast is the name of the beast. So when you take the mark of the beast, you're taking onto your right hand or forehead, you are taking the name of the beast onto your right hand or forehead. I don't think this is going to be discreet. I think that everybody who does this is going to be proud to have done it. I think that he is going to deceive the world into thinking that his lies are true. Second, the mark of the beast is the number of his name. So when you calculate out, we'll talk about this in a bit, but when you calculate out the number, the name of this man, it will calculate to the number 666. This is an important prophetic idea that cannot be counter-engineered. You can't do it backwards. You have to go from the name to the number, not the number to the name. So it's absolutely brilliant how God did this. Third, the mark of the beast will be the number of the beast. So the number of his name, number two, but the number of the beast as well, number three. Fourth, the mark of the beast is the number of a man. And that's because he will be a man. He will be human just as Jesus was human, only completely wicked. And fifth, the mark of the beast calculates to the number 666. This is referring to something called gematria. Gematria is an ancient art. It's still used today by Jews in the Kabbalah. You know, the Kabbalah is like Jewish mysticism. That it's all about numbers and patterns and things like this, right? It's been used for years and years and years, and it's based on the fact that both the Hebrew and the Greek alphabet have number values assigned to them. So like, you know, beginning with alpha in the Greek, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, it goes to 10, and then it starts with the tens. And then it gets all the way up in the Greek, I believe, up to 600. And in the Hebrew, which only has 22 letters, when you get to Tov, the last letter, it's 400. But the idea is, when you calculate these numbers, let's see if we can put this up. This is going to be hard to see, and I couldn't really cut it down. But you can see here, with the Hebrew, you start with the Aleph, and you go all the way to the Tav. And as you do, there's a numerical value that's tied to it. And then you can accent these numbers. With an accent underneath it, they can become thousands. So by doing this, you can look for symbols and patterns within the names of words, right? The Greek is like this. Beginning with the alpha all the way to omega, the value goes up to 800. So if you were going to look at the name for Jesus, for example, Iesu in the Greek, you would take the Yoda, and you would look at the value, and then you would take the next letter, and the next letter, and the next letter, until you calculated what is the value of the name. So the idea here is that when the Antichrist appears, when this beast appears, nobody knows who he is, but when he does appear, his name is going to calculate to 666. The one who has wisdom, the one who has understanding, is going to be able to look at this guy that has done things that clearly mark him out to be the beast, signing a peace treaty with Israel, right? Big one, right? And they're going to be able to see that this is the beast that was prophesied in the book of Revelation and in Daniel. The question is, Hebrew has numerical value and Greek has numerical value. Which is it? Like, is the Antichrist going to be identified in Greek or in Hebrew? And the answer to the question is a resounding, it depends who you ask. Now, Dr. Arnold Fruchtenbaum is going to say it's Hebrew, right? He writes, when a prominent figure arrives on the scene, if the numerical value of his name in Hebrew characters is equivalent to 666, he's someone you should certainly watch, right? But he's a Messianic Jew, and he certainly has a bias. I think there's a stronger argument for the Greek for a couple reasons. Number one, the New Testament's written in Greek. John is writing the Apocalypse. He's writing it in Greek. Not only that, but he references Greek a number of times. You know, what is Jesus called in the book of Revelation? He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the first letter of the Greek alphabet, the last letter of the... He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, right? It makes more sense to me that it would be Greek, but I don't think we can be sure about this. One thing that is interesting that has been suggested, not by Fruchtenbaum, but Philip Schaff, he says, Philip Schaff is a great scholar of the past in the history of the church, does so much beautiful work with the creeds, and I mean, he's really a wonderful scholar. But he says that Hebrew might make more sense because there's a sense of concealment there where most of the world would not be able to recognize, because they aren't familiar with Hebrew, they wouldn't be able to really recognize what's happening here. So I don't know. We don't know for sure. But I think the better argument, to be completely honest with you, is in the Greek. It's written, Revelation is written in the Greek, and there are those references that I think are important for us to consider. But one thing's for sure, those who receive this mark, this mark of this man that also represents the number of his name that calculates to 666, those who receive it are also those who will worship him. And the numerical value that they put upon their hand, upon their forehead, will certainly calculate to 666. So when people receive this mark of the beast, they will literally, and this is the important point here, they will literally be pledging allegiance to the Antichrist. They will be taking into their body or on the skin of their body, the actual name of Antichrist, the number of his name. It is the number of a man. It calculates to 666. But here's the important thing about this, and something that I find so wonderful. I cut so much out of this message today because I wanted to bring this to a close today. I had this whole section about people who have been accused of being the Antichrist. Because Ronald Reagan, 666. Napoleon, 666. If you can't quite come to the number, you say like Nero. Oh, Nero doesn't work. Oh, Emperor Nero. Oh, 666. You know, we can find a way to make it 666, right? What's interesting about this number is, first of all, we know that Antichrist really reveals himself only in the tribulation. And the number can't be reverse engineered. So you can't start with 666 and say, there's so many gazillion possible combinations that can reach 666. It just doesn't work that way. But when somebody shows up and you calculate his name and he's doing the things that sound very beastly, very antichrist-like, well, then you need to pay attention. But I think that's the wonder of the scriptures, you know. We won't be able to identify this person until the time comes. Okay, let's think more deeply about the mark of the beast, what it is and what it is not. The prophecy is clear that after the abomination of desolation, all the people on the earth will be compelled to worship this Antichrist and receive his mark. Continuing in their attempt to counterfeit all things, the pseudo-Christ will also have his own unique seal and mark. You know that throughout the Bible there are seals that God puts upon people. Remember Cain, the 144,000 will be sealed for a bit. All believers are sealed with the Spirit till the day of redemption, you know. So he'll have his own seal. Just as believers in Jesus receive the seal of the Holy Spirit, those also who believe in the Antichrist will receive a seal. And the interesting thing is, just as when you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit forever. When you're sealed with the mark of the beast, you are sealed forever. It's very, very, very powerful. This is recorded in Revelation 13 and verse 16. It causes all, both great and small, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or on the forehead. So this mark will be placed either on the right hand or on the forehead. The purpose of the mark is that those who receive it are identifying themselves with the devil's Christ rather than God's Christ. This is a permanent indication that they have chosen sides. And once they do, there is no turning back. According to Revelation 13 and verse 17, the A part, only those who have this number will be permitted to work, to engage in commerce of any kind, to buy or to sell, to make a living. There's always been a lot of wild, fanciful speculations with respect to this. You know, is it an embedded chip, or is it a vaccine, or is it the number? Is it a social security number? I've heard that. Is it an ISBN number? Is it a bank account number? But all of these things are different. If your bank account number is put on your hand and mine's put on my hand, we have different numbers. That's not the name of the beast. Those things may be used, as I'm going to show you before we leave, in conjunction with this time of Antichrist controlling the earth. But the mark of the beast is a uniform mark that identifies those who have it as a worshiper of Antichrist. So these things are maybe a part of that equation, but they are not. In a credit card system, social security numbers, we all have different numbers, but at this time, everyone will have the same number. Believers will never receive this mark, but refusing to do so will come at a very high cost. It'll be a very difficult time for them. They will not be able to make a living of any kind. Refusing such a mark, though, is much. Refusing to take this mark is much better than the alternative, because God's judgment is going to fall upon those who take it. Listen to what Revelation 14, beginning with verse 9, says. And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he will also drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger. That sounds awful. And he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, these worshipers of the beast and his image, whoever receives the mark of his name. It's going to be difficult to say no to the mark, but the alternative is absolutely ghastly. The clear warning of this is that anybody who receives the mark will forfeit any opportunity for salvation ever. They have locked in their destiny. Until that mark is taken, the opportunity for salvation will exist. The gospel will be being preached. People will be hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ and the things that have been promised. But once they receive the mark of the beast, they have locked in their doom. According to Revelation 13, beginning with verse 9, once they receive this mark, they are forever damned. They will now be destined to receive the full judgment of the wrath of God, which is recorded in the bowl judgments of Revelation 15 and 16. The moment that a person receives this mark, their membership in the fraternity of Lake of Fire occupants is assured. So in 14:12, the Revelator urges believers to remain faithful during this time. It's going to be hard. You know how hard it is to suffer, right? Imagine having to watch your children suffer. This is going to be a terrible, terrible time. Here is a call for endurance, John wrote. Endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. This is such an important thing, especially during the tribulation. Having to suffer along with one's family and even die for the faith will be hard, but a bargain compared to the alternative. There will be a time of widespread persecution upon the earth. You know who's going to be persecuting believers? You know who's going to be persecuting the Jews at this time? The people with the mark. I'm going to finish with this today. We learned a lot from COVID. We have historical data about how people who are eager to get in line with the government very quickly will turn against those that do not. Well, so this is going to be a very difficult time. The Jews will be persecuted. Believers will be persecuted. In fact, it's going to become so amazing at the end of the tribulation that the Lord Jesus said of that time, if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. What Jesus is saying is, listen, I'm coming back to establish my kingdom. The people who move into that kingdom initially are those who come out of the tribulation, believers. If I delayed any longer, there would be no people to enter into the... So for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. At this point in human history, the bowl judgments will be poured upon the earth. You'll remember that there are the seal judgments, seven of them. When the seventh seal judgment is opened, seven angels come forth with trumpets. Seven trumpets are blown, and with each one a judgment. When the seventh trumpet is blown, seven angels come forward bearing bowls, and these bowls are the final judgments of God upon the earth. This is going to be happening at this time. And it's an amazing thing because when it does, when it does, we do get a little glimpse of some relief that believers will be given at this time. Here's what it says in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 2. When the first angel poured out his bowl upon the earth, harmful, you want to talk about a pandemic? You want to talk about a pandemic? You want to talk about the CDC not having the answers or the World Health Organization not having the answers? When the first angel poured out his bowl on the earth, harmful and painful sores, whole world, this is global, came upon people who bore the mark of the beast and worshiped his image. Do you see the connection of bearing the mark of the beast with worshiping the beast? This is not something you're going to be hoodwinked into, folks, okay? So notice this judgment is going to come upon the world. These grievous and painful sores, these malignant things, you know, you can only imagine how horrifying they're going to be, painful, and yet those who have refused the mark will not receive this. This goes only upon those who have bore the mark of the beast and worshiped his image. Remember that this is a time when the earth's torment is going to be so great, people who are on the earth are going to want to kill themselves. You know, people commit suicide for lots of different reasons, even a rumor. I mean, you know, Ernest Hemingway at the end of his life came to a point where he didn't feel that it was worth suffering to continue with cancer and took his own life. At this time, the pain in human bodies is going to be so excruciating from the judgments and in their environment, from the judgments that are falling upon the earth. Men will wish to die, but one of the judgments that God brings to the earth is he removes the option of suicide. Men are not allowed to take their own lives at this time. They'll beg for the rocks to fall on them so that they can die, but death will elude them. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 6. Also, the mark of the beast is not some tattoo, as I've made reference to, that you can be tricked into. It's not going to be like, oh no, I went from my flu vaccine and now I have the mark. Nothing like that. Scripture consistently connects receiving the mark of the beast with the worship of the beast. It is a choice that people will make. Again, Revelation 16:2. This judgment comes upon people who have borne the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The beast will be a visible sign that someone has fully bought in to the claim that Antichrist is God and is worshiping him as such. We should also make note that it's the second beast, the false prophet, described in Revelation 13:11 and following, who will compel the world to worship the Antichrist and receive the mark. And there's a whole counterfeit thing happening here. I'll only mention it quickly. But just as the true spirit leads people to worship the true Christ, the false spirit will lead people to worship the false Christ. Just as the true spirit seals believers who believe in Jesus, the false spirit will also seal people who believe in the Antichrist and receive his mark. Just as the seal of the spirit is irrevocable, the seal of the Holy Spirit is irrevocable. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you're born again and saved, you can never lose that. You know why? Not because you're good, but because God is. And he's made a promise to you. You belong to him. Now, there are times when, you know, I'm sure we've all looked in the mirror and say, Lord, I am so sorry that I belong to you. I mean, I am such a terrible representative of the Christian faith, but nonetheless, he loves us anyway. He loves us despite our fallenness. The seal of the Spirit is irrevocable, and the mark of the beast is irrevocable as well. The mark of the beast, we should also point out, is not a metaphor. It's not like some spirit thing that's going to happen at the last day. It's kind of like just a spirit of the mark. It's like a thing. It's an idea. No, it's a charagma. A kerygma, the word that's used for mark, is a word that literally means a stamped image. The NAB, the New American Bible, translates it that way. Or a brand. Bowerot and Gingrich and Danker, the premier English-Greek lexicon of the New Testament and early Christian literature, say this. It's a mark that could be engraved, imprinted, or branded, or even etched or cut into the skin. This is going to be visible. There's not going to be any hiding about this. It's not going to be some invisible thing where the followers of the Antichrist are not well known. I mean, think of the two most exposed parts of your body all throughout the year. Your hands and your forehead. You know, you look at someone. Have you ever seen this where you see somebody that has tattoos running, all up their face and things like that? I mean, you look at it and you're looking at somebody that is not afraid to let you know that they have a tattoo, right? This is what this is going to be like. That's the significance of the hand and the forehead. There's not going to be anything discreet about this. So this mark indicates that those who bear it are, number one, loyal to the beast. Number two, worshippers of the beast. Number three, spiritually identified with the beast. Number four, have placed themselves under the protection of the beast. That's a really bad choice. And number four, are owned by the beast. I was sealed with the Spirit. You know what that tells me? That Jesus owns me. You were bought with a price. Don't you know? Paul said you were bought with a price, so glorify the Lord with your body. Well, those who align themselves with the beast will be owned by the beast. Furthermore, the Greek tells us that this kerygma is epi, the right hand or forehead. Epi. Epi is a preposition in the Greek, and there's a lot that's been made about this because some of your translations say that they will receive a mark upon the skin, or upon the forehead, or upon the right hand. Others say that you'll receive the mark in the forehead or in the right hand. The King James group, New King James and King James Bible, has one view, and most of the other translations have another view. Usually when there's a discrepancy between the King James and more modern translation, it goes back to the original text. The King James Version uses the Textus Receptus, which was the received text at the time that the King James Bible was translated in 1611, 400 years ago. And the modern translations use either the USB or the Nestle Aland text, which brings in a lot of finds that have been made since 400 years ago. We found many manuscripts, and so the text has been corrected. Most of them are very small, okay? All right, I know I'm going off too much on this, but the point is that a lot of times when there's a difference between the King James and a modern translation, it's because the underlying text has a different word. That's not the case here. They both have epi. So which is right? Will it be in the hand? And that's a big deal for a lot of people. The RFID crowd, really. No, it's going to be in the hand, right? Or is it upon the hand? Now, to be truthful, we can't say for sure. Because the basic meaning of epi, the preposition epi in the Greek, the basic meaning is upon, not in. In, en, is another Greek preposition. En means in. Epi means upon. However, the word epi has such an enormous number of usages that it can be translated in or upon. So we don't know for sure, but I am going to tell you this. This is my conclusion with this. Because of the visibility that I think is everywhere present in the telling of what this mark is all about, it's all about visibility. Listen, if you didn't want people to see it, it would say everybody will receive a mark on their right calf or on their left calf or somewhere that you could easily cover up. The whole idea of this mark is I am with the Antichrist and I'm proud of it. Yes, he is the one. He's everything he claimed. What do you need to? And you're thinking, yeah, Jesus did that. a long time ago, right? So my answer to this is that on or in, what does that mean? I think it's most likely that it's upon, but it is possible that it could be in. I'm sorry that the Greek is just not more explicit than that. Finally, no one can receive the mark of the beast now. Nobody. I don't care what pandemic comes around. I don't care what circumstances comes around. I don't care if Joe Biden stands at the podium of the White House and says, everybody must take the mark of my name in the United States of America, or they're going to get no benefits from Social Security and Medicare. Even if the president does that tomorrow, that's not the mark of the beast. The beast is the Antichrist. He's hyper-intelligent. He is cunning, deceptive, the greatest politician the world has ever seen. And he will only be known when he signs that peace treaty with Israel. And then, halfway through, when he receives his resurrection from the dead, then he says, you have to receive my mark. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation, he's not insisting this. In order to argue that you can take the mark of the beast now, you've got to argue that we're halfway through the tribulation. There's a theological word for this. It's called ridiculous. It's crazy. But if you don't understand the panorama of end time events properly, it's very easy to open up your U-face or your test tube or no, YouTube test tube. And look and see somebody say, the vaccine is the mark of the beast. And oh my goodness, I never thought about that. No, and neither should you. It's very clear. The mark of the beast is not going to be something you're going to be hoodwinked into taking. And it's not something that you're going to be able to take until the Antichrist not only appears, but dies. Now, if Joe Biden received a head wound and was resurrected, I might have to rethink this. I don't know. But it's going to follow this amazing resurrection from the dead. This isn't complicated, right? I mean, it's if you go home and just read the prophecy, you're going to see it's just all there, just this clearly. Now, in closing, let me say this. Don't get excited. It's a long closing. That's not to say that the implementation of the mark of the beast is not going to be connected with these things like RFID chips or other things, modern technology. And not only that, that's not to say that the implementation of the COVID vaccine, as we saw it in America and in other places around the world, wasn't a gross governmental overreach and a way to prepare the Antichrist for the eventual reception of the mark of the beast, because I think it was. I think all of these things, the things we just went through, I think are all a part of the mystery of lawlessness and the spirit of Antichrist that have been working from the first century to prepare the world to receive Antichrist. So let me bring this to a close this morning by commenting about this. It's true that no one can be hoodwinked into taking the mark of the beast. He or she will do so because they have agreed to ally themselves with the Antichrist and to worship him. It's the mark of the beast. It's not the mark of the president. It's not the mark of the United States government. It's not a mark of the Social Security Organization. It's not a mark of the World Health Organization or the CDC. It's the mark of the Antichrist specifically. It is his name and somehow the number of his name. It's the mark of the Antichrist. And the Antichrist has not yet appeared. But thanks to COVID, we now have historical, empirical insight into just how quickly those who get in line with the government's program are eager to turn upon those who do not. At this time, it'll be a time of extreme persecution for Jews and Jesus followers, and the legions of pro-Antichrist lemmings will be the means through which much of the persecution against them will take place. Now, you remember the vitriol that was directed toward those who refused the COVID vaccine. Some decided to take it. Want to take it? Take it. Some decided not to take it. I believe everyone had the freedom to make that choice, though. But those who decided not to take it, wow. How quickly did their neighbors turn on them? Do you see the vitriol right now that is being levied against people who have the temerity to stand up for Israel that still has more than 200 hostages, some of them babies, captured at the hands of Hamas? Even Joe Biden, beloved of the left, is now being called Genocide Joe because he supported Israel. If you're shaking your head and wondering how it could possibly be that people could be so misguided, I would simply point you to the college riots that are taking place, the protests that are taking place, some of which we talked about earlier. You know, when there was the wholesale slaughter by Hamas of women, children, there was a screening of GoPro footage that was taken by the Hamas soldiers as they were massacring these people. Gal Gadot, you might know her. She's an actress. She is Israeli. And she was in Wonder Woman, you know. Well, she recently screened this footage for some of her Hollywood friends, and they were it was being protested outside. You can't show this footage. The Hamas terrorists took that footage. And yet you've got people on college campuses refusing that anything even ever happened. It's all AI. AI created this massacre. But friends, difficult as these days are going to be, when this persecution takes place and people are coming, and we're already seeing that type of thing now, there will be amazing rewards that will accrue to those who remain faithful to Jesus. Just listen to this, Revelation 22. This is how the book ends, right? It says, they will see his face. Those who remain faithful, they will see his face and his name where? They will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. And they will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light and they will reign with him forever. You know, if you happen to find yourself in the tribulation and somehow come upon this message on the internet, please know that if you stay faithful to the Lord, refuse to take that mark, refuse to ally yourself with the devil's plan, there is an amazing reward that will accrue to those who have endured undeserved suffering during that time and remained faithful to God. While the mark of the beast is not an embedded RFID chip containing all of your banking information, Scripture is clear that both the great and small, the rich and the poor, the free and the slave will not be able to buy or sell unless he has a mark. So there's an economic component, not necessarily that is the mark of the beast, but they may be associated with it. This certainly hints at some kind of technology being used in addition to the mark of the beast. The prophecy also seems to require a cashless society to be implemented for this to be enforced. The prophecy, I read recently about a discussion that took place on the Joe Rogan show. Are you familiar with Joe Rogan? He's very, very popular podcast. I don't listen to it, and from what I understand, he's not a believer. But this was a very interesting thing. I actually read it in a Christian article. Joe Rogan says, he says, how long do you think it's going to be before we have a cashless society? And his guest, Duncan Trussell, who I don't know, went on to discuss it for some time, this idea of cashlessness. And Trussell says, this is where I get scared because it's too similar to that mark of the beast, too similar to what the Bible says exactly in the book of Revelation. You won't be able to trade. You won't be able to do anything unless you have the mark, unless you bear the mark. And Rogan says, how is the mark of the beast described in the Bible? And before long, right there on the Joe Rogan show, somebody had broken out a Bible and they actually read Revelation 13, 11 to 18, the entire passage right on the broadcast. Now, a cashless society seems to be an important precursor to the Antichrist control of the whole world. And the steps that we have taken, even since I've updated this recently, have been unbelievable toward this end, this cashless society. Have you heard about Amazon One? Anybody know about this? So this is already being rolled out. This is just a couple months ago. It first got announced. It's going to be completely rolled out by the end of the year. The idea is this technology, which is about to go live or has already gone live in some places. In a recent CBS News headline, this is from July 20th, it read, Amazon releases new cashless pay-by-palm technology that requires only a hand wave. So no implanted chip, nothing like that, just your unique palm and the markings on your palm. The article discussed the use of biometric palm scanning technology, which is a part of a trend toward the cashless society that we've talked about for years. Amazon's idea is to give customers another way to pay for their groceries, just by waving their palm over a device. In a statement just 6 weeks ago, this is the end of September, Amazon announced that the palm recognition will be available in 500 Whole Foods, of course, and Amazon Fresh locations across the nation by the end of this year. Instead of pulling out your credit card, using your iPhone or Apple Pay, that's all too cumbersome. Come on, having to pull out your phone, come on. Think about all the years and years you waste pulling out your phone to pay for things. Instead of pulling out your credit card or your phone, all you're going to have to do is just wave your palm over this device. Oh, and that's not all. Let's say you want to go to Panera, and you've got some points. And I don't go to Panera, so apparently there's a point system. All you do is wave your hand over this thing. It will tell you how many points you have, automatically subtract it from your bill. Coors Field in Colorado, or like Woody Guthrie used to say, Colorado. If you are at Coors Field in Colorado, the stadium, and you want to buy a beer, well, all you have to do is walk up to that thing and you wave your palm over this device and your age is immediately verified. Oh, you're over 21? Fine, you can buy a beer. The same technology is being used at Hollywood casinos in Detroit because, you know, you can't waste time taking out a credit card when you're gambling. You know, you walk around those casinos, you see women with arms like Schwarzenegger from carrying around a bucket of quarters for half of their life. You know, you don't want to get into a situation like that. My goodness, think of how many pulls you'll miss breaking out your credit card. Anyway, all you got to do is just wave your hand over and all of your wampum points or whatever will be available to you instantly. And that's small potatoes compared to what's happening globally. Now, I'm going to apologize to you ahead of time. I'm going to keep you a few minutes later today because I want you to see this. This is 5 minutes long, but you really need to see it. And when you watch it, it's from Christian Broadcast News about what's happening in China. Remember that this happened in this report is from 2022. So it's already been out for a while, okay? Just watch this, please.
Well, China is pushing ahead into a cashless society. It's creating a new digital currency to replace paper money and coins. It will also give the Communist Party total knowledge of how the Chinese people are spending their money. And that opens the door for unprecedented government control. George Thomas has the story.
The Chinese were the first in the world to invent paper money back in the 7th century. Now, more than 1,400 years later, China is again on the cusp of creating a new form of government currency that some say could pose a serious economic threat to America and the West.
China is about to launch one of the most revolutionary financial projects in the world.
They're not cryptocurrencies. They're not so-called stable coins. In effect, they are the national physical currency of a country just represented in a digital form.
Eric Bethel is the former U.S. executive director of the World Bank.
Bitcoin near record highs, crossing 23,000.
He says while the world fixates on private cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin,
but the digital yuan isn't a payment system. It's actual money.
Beijing is busy building a digital version of its own currency, the yuan, also known as the renminbi, to control its citizens and eventually threaten the dominance of the U.S. dollar.
They've pretty much created all of the building blocks that will allow a central bank digital currency to flourish.
And Yahya Fanusi, a former economic and counterterrorism analyst in the CIA, says China's goal is to replace cash with a digital currency that's controlled by the communist government's central bank.
China has said for a while that it expects to pretty much be a cashless society in the future. So the idea is that cash notes, coins will no longer be around and that people will be using a digital currency that's going to be in their wallets.
That digital currency will also be issued by the government bank, allowing what Congressman Michael McCaul, the top Republican on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, says is unprecedented access to people's financial transactions.
This will give them data on behavior, on how people, how they spend.
And giving Beijing the power to track that spending in real time.
There will be a point where the People's Bank of China is going to be able to look, peer inside of every single transaction that everyone does 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Which means if you are a human rights activist or a Christian, authorities can now use this new technology to punish you if you engage in activities they consider anti-government.
This technological ability is something that the government has never had before. It always had to go to companies to say, okay, cut off this person. Now, the Chinese government, I think, with sort of the proverbial the flip of a switch, can make people fall in line by cutting off their access to money.
Eventually, U.S. and other foreign companies doing business in China will be required to use the government's new digital currency payment system.
There's a competitive issue. There are, I'd say, even cybersecurity issues, privacy issues. You're handing over your data to the Chinese Communist Party by participating in this digital currency system.
The U.S. dollar is the world's dominant reserve currency. China's renminbi is number 8. Beijing's ambition is to eventually supplant the dollar's global dominance with the digital yuan.
The big concern is internationally, especially for the U.S., is in the long term, this is an important step. This is what I would call a fintech, a financial technology development. And the issue is that China is thinking decades in advance. It's not thinking about the next 2 to 3 years, you know, per se.
In June, the communist government handed out more than $6 million worth of its digital currency to its citizens as part of a series of trials around the country. The first kicked off in Beijing, allowing residents there to use two government bank apps to test digital payments. China then plans to make its big digital currency splash at the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympics. Now that the world's largest authoritarian regime has launched this first-of-a-kind sovereign digital currency, some in the U.S., like Congressman Mike Waltz, worry Beijing will use this form of payment to also skirt economic sanctions.
The Chinese government convinces countries like Burma, Iran, North Korea, and others to do business in that Chinese digital currency. It'll also allow China and those countries to work around one of our most powerful tools, which is sanctions.
Based on history, Waltz believes China is only too happy to share the technology with other rogue regimes that seek to enhance their own surveillance capabilities over their citizens.
So that those other countries in Africa, the Middle East, and elsewhere can dominate their people in line with the Chinese version of government. But that data then comes back to Beijing so that they will literally, through facial recognition, be able to monitor the globe.
George Thomas, CBN News.
Chinese government is pushing ahead on many fronts to restrict what its population can and cannot do. They already restrict the right of assembly. They already restrict religious freedom. They certainly restrict political speech and any speech that is critical of their government. And the way they run things is definitely cracked down on. All you have to do is look at what's happened in Hong Kong over the past just 2 years, and you get a very clear picture of where they're going. But they want to control, and they're doing it right now with social media scoring, where if you don't score a particular way, you're not allowed to travel. That's already in place. But just imagine a government that if you step out of line, they can now turn off all your money. and do it instantly. So you cannot buy or sell. You don't have the right in the marketplace to participate anymore. That's what digital currency allows a government to do. And if you think it's just going to happen in China, think again. The Federal Reserve already has a study group looking at a digital currency for the United States. Why are they doing that? Because they're afraid China will usurp the U.S. and become the world currency. The digital currency is taking over.
How did a fisherman 2,000 years ago understand that the technology would exist in the last days to be able to do this? Do you find this shocking? Yeah, this is happening right before our eyes, folks. And we're seeing the ascendancy of nations like China, which are dictatorial and controlling of their people and refusing basic freedoms to them, and the descendancy of the United States at this very moment. It fits into the perfect scenario that God predicted in the last days. America's not in last days and times, the end time scenario, because we're not important enough to mention. The most powerful nation in the world right now will be a footnote when this happened. And when this happens, and you know what? From everything that we have seen, I think we've come to understand that things are happening very, very quickly. So I have more. I'm going to stop here. I've already kept you 10 minutes late. The last point that I would like to make, though, is that we learned a lot from COVID. We learned about how the government can use a situation like that to overextend, how even churches can get in line. Andy Stanley's church didn't meet for a year during COVID, even though instruction to the church through the writer of Hebrews is to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, especially as we see that day approaching. So the churches fell in line. The governments fell in line. There was animosity toward those who refused to get in line with the government and wanted to express their own freedom. We saw how the celebrity class could be mobilized to get on the side of the government, and tell them Arnold Schwarzenegger coming out and saying, you know, about your freedom, never mind your freedom, you know, take the vaccine, that type of thing. It was an astonishing thing. So this was an experiment. This was a social experiment. And it not only happened here, folks. You know what they did in China. They were literally welding people into their houses, right? But in America and in Australia and in Canada, these are free nations. And we were seeing things that were really on the border of tyranny. So I think we get a glimpse as to when that time does come, when the restrainer is removed and when you all are removed, I think we can get a glimpse of what the situation will be like on the ground for those who have come to religion and said, no, I'm not taking that mark. No way. I know what that means. We're there, folks. Jesus said, when you see all these things, know that he is near at the very gate. And that's talking about the second coming of Christ, not the rapture. And I think we're already seeing these things. So this is it. This is the end of our study of the Antichrist and the end of the third I will. We'll continue and we'll be done with the Satan thing very shortly.